to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 84 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, the key word is news. News from the parks. With me this week, I've got Jimmy. Jimmy, how you doing?
Man, I am fantastic. I'm very happy to be here. And I just want to give a quick shout out. I was on the Disney Nerds group, in our group, and I noticed today that we had two separate people get in Walt Disney World get engaged today. So I want to say a big congratulations to Nicholas and his fiance, and also to Audrey and her fiance. Audrey actually had some champagne waiting back at the room with some Mickey Mouse champagne flutes and everything. So, man, it's so awesome to see. I thought just seeing one was fantastic, and as I was scrolling through, I'm like, wow, there's another one. So, Disney Nerds rock, man.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Congratulations, guys. We also have Jen with us tonight after a couple weeks off. Hey, Jen, how's it going?
Good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. Now, you had a little bit of a Disney trip, didn't you?
Well, I got a surprise and wonderfully welcome invitation to the Disney Social Media Mom Celebration, which happens every year at one of the Disney parks. This year it was back down at Walt Disney World. About 150 bloggers, podcasters, social media influencers were down there to hear from Disney and hear from a couple of other sponsors. And it was really, really different. We had these 40 fast passes, which I thought was going to be awesome. We ride every ride, but it turns out we had like no time in the park. So it was a completely different trip, but it was amazing in so many ways. So I'll have a lot of, you know, updates on probably my site for that in the next several weeks, because there's a lot to unpack, but it's always great to be down there.
Awesome. And I guess we can kind of expect maybe in the next couple shows to dig a little deeper into this trip.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Awesome. 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 And as we said earlier, tonight's show is going to be about news down in the parks. Over the last couple weeks, they've made a bunch of different announcements, and we figured we'll take a breath and kind of talk about those a little bit tonight. What we're going to do is we'll each take a turn at the news. We'll talk about what it is, and then we'll discuss if there's anything to discuss, and then we'll just move on. What we're hoping to get is some feedback from you guys, the listeners, back about these topics. Is this something good for the parks, bad for the parks, something long awaited? We really want to hear from you, so that'd be very cool if you can. So, guys, let's start news. Jen, you're fresh back from the park, so why don't you start off tonight?
Yeah, well, actually, this my news is not really from the parks, but instead at Downtown Disney / Disney Springs. I was walking along, and I believe that you guys mentioned briefly the Ampha cars at the boathouse at Disney Springs. Is that right? Am I remembering correctly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A couple weeks ago, we mentioned it real quick.
Yeah, well, I was walking by, and it turns out that they're open. So we were there, and there's a very small crowd, just probably 8 or 10 people gathering around watching these cars. So if you're not familiar with them, it's sort of like those duck tours or seal tours where they have a vehicle that drives along a road and then into the water. But instead of those like military vehicles, these are more like little old-fashioned sports cars. So it's really quite fun to see them drive. And they look like they're driving halfway underwater. It's super cool. We'll try to post a picture in the group and on the Facebook page. But we got to talk to the captains a little bit about this attraction that's now open right next to the boathouse. There's a little Ampha car launch, and there's a turntable. They get them around, which that in and of itself is fun to watch. But we got some details, and it's surprisingly affordable for, you know, not something you do every time, but just something unique. For $125, you get the car for 30 minutes. And so that includes your captain. Unfortunately, we don't get to drive them, which, you know, may or may not be disappointing to you. But 30 minutes with the car with a captain, either for 3 adults or 2 adults and 2 kids. So that's total for the whole car. And plus, they said each car comes with 3 rubber ducks. And sure enough, they were there in the cars. Each car had these rubber ducks, and the captains were completely different. And all the couple that we talked to were very animated and very excited. So I did not have a chance to try it, but I can't wait to hear from someone who has.
Okay, well, what do you mean by rubber ducks?
Oh, like literal rubber ducks, like small rubber ducks. Just, I don't know. We have like, my kids end up with them.
Oh, like the little bathtub squeak toy.
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh,
yes.
Okay. I thought you were thinking like life preservers or something like
no,
that.
No, like Ernie plays with Ancestry.
Oh, sure.
Rubber ducks.
Like, oh, very cool.
So I don't know. It's just something kind of kitschy, but these cars look super fun. Like I said, it was even just fun watching them turn around on the turntable and get ready to drive in. So yeah, I'd love to hear if there's a listener that has ridden one or, you know, plans to. I'd love to hear more about it.
And you said it was $125. That was for a half an hour?
Yeah, for the whole car, 30 minutes.
I mean, that's not terrible. I guess, you know, for a family of four, that's not really cheap. But, I was thinking, you know, say there was four Disney nerds down there together and happened to be in downtown Disney. You chip in a couple bucks a piece. It's not terrible.
Yeah, and like I said, for you know, you're probably not going to do it often.
It's got to be a better value than the Surrey.
That's probably true.
Me and Sam, after a few drinks, trying to pedal that Surrey up the hills around the boardwalk was not a pretty sight.
And we actually, my family loves those duck tours, and we've looked at them a couple different places. You might pay $20 or $30 a person for adults in those. And it's not really that different and actually maybe a little more unique. So looks super cool. I had kind of heard about them, but hadn't really heard, you know, a big grand opening or anything. And it sort of, there was really that same feeling that everyone was like, are you open? They said, yeah, yeah. So you get your tickets in the ship's shop right at the boathouse. So someone needs to go do it and tell us about it.
That's a place that can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
The ships, it reminds me of like one of the Yeehaw Bob songs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And again, if anybody does take a ride on one of these little car boats, definitely send us an email. I'd like to have you on the show if you want to come on too.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerds.com.
Very cool. And while we're in downtown Disney, I'm going to talk about my little news item here. And this week, Walt Disney World announced that they're going to have a new restaurant in downtown Disney. It's going to be called Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar, and it's going to be Indiana Jones themed. As soon as I saw the headline, I was really, really interested in this one. And as you read more to it, they have different pictures of what it's going to look like, and it literally looks like an airplane hangar. A little bit more decorated. You see a lot of props on the outside and things like that, which you wouldn't normally see. And the inside is just so cool because it's totally decorated as airplanes, as if it is an airplane hangar. Now, what's really cool about it is the name again. Let me say that, Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar. Now, if you remember, Jock Lindsey was the pilot in Indiana Jones, the first movie, where Indy was getting away from the natives in the beginning. I think he had a snake. What was that snake's name? Like Reggie, maybe?
I don't recall.
Well, anyway.
You're going to maybe go back and watch the movie again.
Now, the bar looks pretty cool in that this one has what I didn't think the Star Wars Rebels Hangar or Rebels Hangout, whatever that was, over in Disney Hollywood Studios has. It sounds like the food and the drinks are definitely themed to Indiana Jones as opposed to making the normal same old things and then renaming them.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They do list some of the things in here. Air Pirates Everything Pretzels with house-made mustard and beer cheese fondue, which, if it's house-made, it's got to be specific to that place, which is
sure.
Really cool. And then they also have something called the Rolling Boulder Meatballs, which I guess is a nod toward Indy's experience in the temple.
Very cool.
Yes.
It's Reggie.
Reggie, okay.
Very cool. There you go. Very good. Awesome. That's a very good memory. At your age, I figured you would not remember that.
No, at my age, I use Google. I had no idea. I had no idea he had a snake. I mean, I've seen it, but yeah. I did not know Reggie.
So let me just read a couple details from this. In the main room, guests will discover an expansive bar, aviation decor filling the room, vintage travel posters covering the walls, and correspondence between Jock, Indy, and the fellow adventurers on display. Guests can eat, drink, and be merry outside as well in Jock's old steamboat, now in a permanent dry dock and aptly named Reggie, and in nearby seating an adjacent deck. Okay, well, there's Reggie mentioned
there. There you go.
Cool. Now, it's supposed to open in the fall of downtown Disney, So that immediately has me hoping that maybe that means October in the beginning, perhaps.
Be
That'd be
nice.
cool.
Now, I tell you what, this is opening or has been announced, and then we also just had Trader Sam's. The first thing that comes to my mind is that we're taking the Adventurers Club rooms almost and making full restaurants out of those ideas or similar ideas where we just over-theme something. I gotta imagine the guys working at this place, the bartenders or such, are going to be mechanics or flight engineers or something like that, pilots. I'm totally looking forward to this place.
Definitely something to check out if it's open when we're down.
Very cool. Okay, Jimmy, your turn to the news.
So I think most people already know that coming up on Memorial Day, the Magic Kingdom will be doing their nonstop 24-hour event from 6 a.m. That's Friday, May 22nd until 6 a.m. on Saturday, with Disney character greetings, dance party, specialty merchandise. And surprises taking place all night long. So another big deal though is the Disney's Frozen Summer Fun events. So the news article, and so I'm not plagiarizing here. I'm getting my information from FoxNews.com, has an article on it. Frozen Summer Fun Live is going to run from June 17th through September 7th. Highlights include a twice-daily procession featuring Anna and Elsa and their Arendelle friends, along with a flurry of skaters, skiers, and ice cutters, a stage show featuring Olaf, the friendly snowman from the film, and the wildly popular Frozen sing-along show. Now in a bigger venue. Nighttime festivities include a DJ-hosted dance party. I believe the guy that does that is actually friends with John, who some of you may have heard on the show before. I think John's actually friends with the DJ who does the parties over there. Followed by an ice-themed firework spectacular choreographed to the music of the blockbuster film. So it sounds like most of the stuff there, I mean, other than the sing-along, is going to be pretty much just for this event. So lots of big things going on.
I'm sorry, where is that event again?
This is going to be at the Hollywood Studio, at Hollywood Studios.
Okay, so we're assuming they're going to use the Star Wars stage, or is it going to be in the Beauty and the Beast studio? Any idea?
I would imagine it's going to be on that brand new stage where the hat was.
Right. They're totally using that area. Give them that credit.
It's a great area. I mean, it works. I mean, without the hat there for these big fireworks shows, I think that's one of the things that Hollywood Studios lacked is a big finale at night.
Oh yeah, no, I agree, and they're creating it. It's awesome. Okay, well, very cool. Looking forward to that. Hopefully, it's going to be a little bit more advanced, which it does sound than last year, so it'll be a different type of show. Now, the sing-along. I think you mentioned how it's the well-known or well-liked or something like that. Either of you guys done this event before?
Yes.
I didn't
Yeah.
do the event, but I did the
The
sing-along,
sing-along, yeah.
the show that's there. It used to be in that theater in the back, kind of by Lights, Motors, Action. But now they moved it into I forgot what they call it, but it's the American Idol.
Hyperion Theater.
Yeah, but what was it? Yeah, but they called it something else.
Oh, the American TV something theater?
Superstar TV. What was the event that was
Superstar
there?
Television, yeah, I was there.
Superstar Television. I think that's what they call it, is a Superstar Television Theater, which it hadn't been that in so long. I don't know why they.
Oh,
Anyway,
sure.
it's the American Idol adventure, American Idol experience, that theater there, which is a great. When I saw it was in the smaller theater. I
It's a
forgot.
great show.
It
That's
is.
right.
They do a really good job.
Awesome. Now, real quick, we mentioned American Idol. Did everybody hear the news that American Idol on TV is officially ending?
It's about time.
Yeah,
Right.
it's been ended like 5 seasons ago.
And I can't tell. I've listened to a couple times them saying it, but I can't tell if it's ending after the 15th season, which is this one, or if it's going to be after the 16th season. So, I'm still a little unsure about that because it was really confusing when I heard the announcements. But yeah, I mean, that kind of totally ties into the theater being removed from the park. Obviously, they're talking. They knew.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we all kind of predicted it too. You're right, it went on for a long time. Although, the only really successful singing show with all the Emmys and the people who've done well.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
true. I have to say, Jimmy, to your Frozen Fun Summer Fun announcement, we you know, talked recently that Olaf was sailing on some future dream and fantasy sailings, but we actually ran into him at Walt Disney World this past weekend. He's not scheduled to be there, but I would not be surprised if he showed up at that event.
Nice.
Which is very cool. Yeah.
Is it still like that first generation costume?
Oh no, he's awesome.
Oh really?
He's very
okay.
Cool. There you he's go. Very cool, and he draws a self portrait instead of signing autographs. So.
Because that's one of the things that I think, Ed, you brought that up when we originally got the video when they were doing like the Christmas stage show in front of the castle, is that they had that, it looked like they had kind of thrown together the suit for Olaf.
Yeah, and I don't know that they were doing any sort of meet and greets then, so maybe they thought they could, you know, from a distance it would get away with it. Yeah, yeah. I can show you some pictures, though. They are, he's pretty cool. He's a lot of fun, so.
I'm sure Ed is looking forward to seeing him.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for the comment again.
I stopped. You told us to stop. I stopped.
I would, actually, if I was at a sing-along for Frozen, I would totally be singing along. How can you not with the songs they have? They're really addictive. I'll give you that. Sure.
I did.
That show, Ed, is actually really quite funny. It is not just, you know, Beauty and the Beast and some other shows that have been there on stage are sort of like reenactments in, you know, short form of the show. This is not. It actually sort of makes fun of itself. Yeah, you know, at one point they're like, they say something about Let It Go. Do you know the words? And they're like, of course I know the word. I mean, so it definitely pokes fun and it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a super fun show. So.
Yeah, it is. Nice. We'll definitely have to do that when we're done.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I'm going to video you guys singing along.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay, well, cool. Who wants the next news story?
Well, mine's not so much news. I mean, I guess it kind of is. It's sort of a sneak peek of news in the fall, and it's not parks related, but it's very much Disney related, and I'd say Disney nerd related. Do you guys play Disney Infinity, or do your kids play Disney Infinity at all?
Yeah, definitely.
My son did for a while, but he made the leap. We bought it for his PlayStation 3, and then we made the leap to PlayStation 4 shortly after that. So I think he kind of got left in the dust.
Well, my kids are just now sort of getting into the video game thing. So we were going to buy it for their birthday. But this fall, Disney Infinity 3.0 comes out and introduces Star Wars characters, among some others. But the big appeal is that they're bringing Star Wars characters to the Infinity universe. And I can link to a video. It's really, like, I'm fascinated by this because my kids don't play yet, but you guys, this might be old news to you. They all interact, you know, so differently. So there's this picture of, you know, Buzz Lightyear saying, you know, hopefully these people come in peace when characters from Star Wars are landing. And Rapunzel whips out her frying pan just in case they're not there in peace. And Olaf runs and gives an AT-AT a hug. And it's hilarious. Like, I cannot wait until that comes out more. And I think it's going to be just in time for my kids to really get into it. Talked about, I think the price point for the new starter kit is $64.99.
We should probably get my son on and have him talk about it.
He could probably know.
I will say, though, that the clips we saw from the demos had characters that are not in the new starter set mixing with the new ones. So it seems they have to be compatible. Like I said, I have these new Mickey and Minnie from 3.0, and they might not work on a 1.0 base, but it sounds like your old characters can join the fun.
Okay, so that makes sense. My thing was, would they offer just the game, just the disc in 3.0 for a cheaper price point, and then let you just use the older characters in the older base?
I don't know. But I know Sam's excited about the Star Wars edition, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm psyched. I saw some of the action you can do on it. Now, one of my complaints in the 1.0 version was that it was almost like Minecraft, where it's a just blank area, and you basically run around and do stuff.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
So maybe I didn't get immersive enough at the time, and the things I've seen with the Star Wars, the 3.0 version, looks great. I mean, unless you have to create that area, too.
You know,
so we'll have to find out.
The person from Disney Interactive that talked about, she actually talked about the Disney Infinity community and how, you know, people unaffiliated with Disney, just this gaming community, have provided feedback that they've actually taken forward. And they also upload, I guess, their own toy boxes, and they've completely made, and I could have this backwards, but I feel like they've completely made Disneyland, and they're working on certain lands for Walt Disney World, and like these communities are making theme parks that then you can share with one another, and Disney's actually
interacting.
Disney's actually taking note of that and making some of those available, you know, like pushing some of those through the official channels. And so it's, right. I think it has evolved a bit. Because when it first came out, I honestly, like I said, my kids weren't really playing with it, but I was paying attention. And I just sort of didn't get it.
I think it's
it's definitely evolved.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That makes sense. If you have other people building these worlds and you can just go hop into it and just go interact, well, then that's fantastic.
Yeah, very cool. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have a review for you in 6 months or something when we play it and figure it out.
Okay, well, very cool. And I'll go with the news story now. And this is a Disneyland news story, so it's going to be important for Jen. You're going out there, aren't you?
I am.
And Sam is also going out there. And this summer, they have the Disneyland Forever Fireworks Spectacular, which is a new fireworks show. However, what caught my eye, and this is actually an article from the Chase newsletter that you get for owning the Chase Visa card, the Disney Visa card. And what caught my eye on this story was that the title is called The Kiss Goodnight. And I know the story of the Kiss Goodnight. Well, I thought I did. The Kiss Goodnight to me was always the after fireworks type of show they have at the Magic Kingdom. After everybody's basically gone as the park's closing, they have another little fireworks show and a song comes on. And basically an extra kiss goodnight. Thank you for staying. Have a good night. However, reading this article kind of enlightened me to something, and I wanted to share it with everybody. And I'm going to read a little bit from this, and then we'll talk about it. The Kiss Goodnight. A Disney legend tells that as Walt and Richard Sherman were watching the fireworks on the opening night of the Disneyland park, Walt turned to Richard and told him that the fireworks were the kiss goodnight to the park guests. So, basically, the Disney Forever Fireworks Spectacular is kind of going to be the same thing, in that now, in addition to Sleeping Beauty's castle, they're going to have the Matterhorn, Main Street, and a lot of other parts of Disneyland included in the show. What's really cool about this is that I'm kind of seeing a theme here. Animal Kingdom, the Tree of Life, is being rethemed, so that's going to light up and have its own type of night show. And I think definitely Disneyland and Walt Disney World are sharing ideas. Now, one of the really, really cool things about this new fireworks show is they have two new songs they've created for the show. And the one song, or let me read it, even better yet. The show features two original songs. The theme first, Live the Magic, and the closing song, Kiss Goodnight, written by Richard Sherman as a tribute to Walt's words. It's an inspiring close to your time of celebrating the past, present, and future of Disneyland's resort, where the past is golden and the future is simply dazzling. Which is pretty cool. I get chills reading that a little bit.
I think I'm going to cry, yeah.
And I'm so sad I'm not going to Disneyland this year. And what's even cooler about this is that I spotted a audio clip, actually it was a video on YouTube by Disney Alien, of Richard Sherman at the Emmys in March. And they asked him about this, and it's about 2.5 minutes. So I'm going to play it right now, and then we'll get back to talking about this little bit of news.
So we're here with Richard Sherman and his wife Elizabeth. We're here at the Annie Awards. Richard, we just heard news at Disneyland about the 60th anniversary and your big part in it. So can you tell us a little bit more about that song and what you've been doing to celebrate?
Well, to celebrate Walt, the Disneyland anniversary, the 60th anniversary, I was asked to write a song that sort of a slogan that Walt used to say about he would give a souvenir to people when they were leaving the park. And he called it a little kiss goodnight when we show this wonderful display of fireworks. And so I wrote a song called A Kiss Goodnight, which is Walt's way of saying thank you for coming and come again and have a happy memory. And that's what these wonderful display of fireworks, they're going to do a spectacular every night. It's going to be incredible. And this song is going to play while that's going on. And I'm very proud of it. It's a lovely song. And I'm pleased to have had the chance to do it.
Right. And I think the great thing about your music and what we can appreciate more now as not only Disney fans but as people who love your music in general is that it tells a story, right? And it's all about storytelling for the Walt Disney Company and even with animation and Walt and having him tell stories through that medium. What do you think Walt would think of the animation industry today?
Well, I think he'd be thrilled about it and very proud of the wonderful things that are happening. I think most of all he'd be thrilled about the way they tell story, because Walt was a great story man. He was the greatest storyteller of the last century, in my opinion. And I think there are some marvelous films being made. And despite the fact that everybody's thrilled about 3D and all these wonderful things that can be happening, the main thing, it still is, how good is that story? How much do you care about the characters? And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Storytelling is very much alive, and we're so happy that we have people like yourself and, of course, everybody at Disney who's keeping the storytelling and Disney magic alive, I should say. So, Elizabeth, I have a question for you, though. I guess with the interviews, it's okay. how proud of you are with you about your husband?
Extremely, extremely proud.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long marriage, too.
We're over 57 years.
57 years. Any advice for the younger couples out there?
What do you say?
Learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. You've got to laugh at a lot of things. Because nothing is ever going to be without a bump in the road somewhere. But you've got to learn how to take it.
Yeah. And maybe a song or two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much again.
I appreciate it.
So how cool is that? Listening to Richard Sherman talk about his relationship with Walt a little bit and being asked to create a song for something new at Disney World. One of the things he mentioned about story, I say that all the time. The movies, no matter how good the digital effects are, you still have to have a story. So this is very cool. Jen, Sam, I envy you this year. I hope you have a good time at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's so cool. I had not actually heard any of that. You were just talking about this song, The Kiss Goodnight, and I already can tell you I'm going to cry during it. I just know I will. But the castle projection show at Disney World, I think this is what you're talking about a little bit, Ed. They're going to do that same thing on the buildings and on the Matterhorn, which I think is just, it looks like it's going to be amazing. But I didn't know that there was a Richard Sherman song and all kinds of other story with it. So I'm pretty excited. That's going to be really cool.
They can do so much crazy stuff with that technology.
Oh my gosh. It's so neat. Like, there's a demo for, I don't remember whose page I saw it on, but like the entire Main Street USA is a projection show. It's nuts.
That's
so
true.
I don't know.
I think one of the parts I was reading, they'll do an aerial part of the show.
Oh, cool.
And blue lasers will basically just cover everything so that you're underneath the sea type of look.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That's so cool.
Plenty of video. Okay, well, so what other news do we have? Anything else going on?
Yeah, I do have a little bit of news just from a travel agent's perspective for people that may be looking to still book a room for the fall. It looks like Disney has released some more rooms for the free dining promotion, which didn't seem like it got a lot of support in the very beginning, and people were really scrambling to try and find those rooms with free dining. Some of the dates are still limited, but it looks like there's more rooms available than what was initially out there. And some of that could be maybe Disney didn't release more rooms, but people who put rooms on hold, some of those holds have fallen off. So it is a little bit easier to find those than it was the first week or two after release. So if anybody's interested, please contact me either on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page, the Disney Nerds group, or you can email me at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com.
Jimmy actually just hooked us up with a theme park view at the Paradise Pier Hotel. So
we were actually, me and Ed did on the last show, we kind of did a travel agent show, and I was talking about one of the, I said, I actually just did a room only at Disneyland. I didn't want to bring your name up.
It was me.
No, but and that's exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome.
You should be excited with like the premium view, like you're going to be like.
Now I have to buy a premium annual pass to get it, but that also means that I can join you in October, so.
Absolutely. And you're probably not going to want to close the shades at all in the hotel. Like, every time you walk in the hotel, the shades will have to be open and be like, you know what? I don't want to leave this view.
I know. It sounds
I expect like you to send us at least post a picture in the group.
Oh, I will.
Of the view from the room.
Definitely will.
Awesome. I can't wait for your trip. Okay, well, very cool. We heard some great news from the parks. Guys, email us. What do you think about these changes? Tell us if you have any other news you've heard. And if you've done or experienced any of the things we've talked about, let us know also. We want you to come on the show and do a segment with us. Okay, well, as promised, now that I've actually seen The Age of Ultron, we're going to talk a little bit about the Avengers Age of Ultron movie. As you know, that's the latest movie in the Marvel, what do you want to call it? Empire?
Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. There you go. I like that.
Perfect. That works.
And we've all seen it, and we're going to do this in two parts. This first part now is officially called the non-spoilers part. I think y'all should go see this movie. Okay, Now to the spoilers part.
No, kidding. That should be the way it is, because it's hard. It's going to be very tough to discuss this movie without any spoilers.
Right. Well, okay. Non-spoilers, it's definitely worth seeing. If you had a scale of all the Marvel movies released, this one's going to be up in the top five.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
I would say, with no problem. Because I always considered Avengers being at the top of the list, too, the first one. And this definitely is there. There's no doubt about it. They're definitely setting up the next maybe two or three movies after this for the different franchises that are all involved. And I don't know. What else can we say about it?
Awesome adventure. Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're planning on – if this is something that interests you and you want to go see this movie, but you haven't yet to see some of the movies leading up to them, I would urge you, please go at least see some of the movies, especially the – I don't know that the Hulk movie is necessary, because it was made before they started lining these up. But
it's not Mark Ruffalo. So.
And it's not, you're right. But, you know, I mean...
Definitely Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
Winter Soldier. Those are really the first Captain America, the second Thor.
Winter Soldier and Iron Man 3 are must-sees between the first Avengers and this one, I think.
Well, and the first Avengers, right?
Yeah, yes.
Right. And then Thor 2 is after the first Avengers. So look up the order they came out in. At least watch at least the three or four, maybe five movies. And if you really want to be educated about it and go into it with just full knowledge, I wouldn't hurt to go throw in the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either, because they tie a lot of cool stuff in there, too.
That's but what not I was going to say. Go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, but not as much as you hope for.
No.
As far as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, we haven't seen the next two shows on TV that we're doing, so don't ruin those. We're getting into that.
As soon as we get off of here, I'm going to watch the two-hour finale.
Well, I actually don't watch it, but I saw Ultron, and I have a couple of non-spoiler bits of feedback. But I saw Ultron the Tuesday of the week it came out, and as soon as is that what day Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. airs, is Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. So I got out and I searched the hashtag Age of Ultron, and I wanted to see what other people at the screening were saying about it. Instead, the internet was like blowing up because apparently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like ended up right at the first scene of Ultron, which is so cool. Like, I haven't even watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a year and a half.
It's amazing how that's so cool.
So the other thing that I thought, you know, spoiler free, the chemistry of the Avengers from the first movie is like taken to a new level. The action scenes, which I'll be honest, like, I get kind of bored. I like action movies enough as long as there's, you know, character development. There was not enough. I mean, just the cinematics and the theatrics of Captain America's shield and Iron Man's various things and Thor's hammer. And it was funny. I thought the characters had great one-liners, not just Tony Stark, but all of them. So it was great. And the character development was great. So really, I don't know. There's something for everybody.
It starts off with like a one-liner, and we'll leave it at that to keep it spoiler-free. But that, like, within the first 3 minutes of the movie, there's a one-liner. You know, it's like,
well, I was taking notes for review. That's so funny. I was taking notes for review, and I looked at my watch, and I'm like, 2 minutes and 40 seconds in, Tony Stark is funny. Like, that's what I wrote down. But the rest of them were like, Iron Man's my favorite because I love Tony Stark, but the rest of them were just as funny. And Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, you know, they're in there and they're good. Like, the whole story was so good. So, but I agree, Jimmy, I think that you have to, in order to really...
A little bit of homework.
Get it. Sure. Yeah, do a little bit of homework. So.
And I want to also throw in there as a tease too, Guardians of the Galaxy. As you should see that before you see this one too.
I agree. I agree 100%. Just for the story of. All right, can we go in the spoilers now?
Yes. Actually, we are going to go in the spoilers. So, guys, for listening to us, if you don't want to hear the spoilers, then I'm going to say goodbye for this week. Thank you very much for listening to us. And if you want to send us a question, please send it to questions@thedisneynerds.com. And for those who want to continue on listening with the spoilers, here we go after 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, continue.
Yeah, so I think that Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's all about the stones.
It brings in, and you see a little bit of that, and maybe some of the after credit scenes with the collector and some of the movies prior to. But yeah, you really get a feel about what's going on
and how powerful they are
with the Infinity Stones and how in that. So that's going to be huge. And you know what else was weird? I didn't realize the Scarlet Witch was one of the Olsen sisters.
Yes.
She's not a twin, but I guess she's the younger sister of the twins, Elizabeth Olsen.
Right.
Yep.
She was just in, I saw her in, she was in Godzilla. She played a nurse and she was the mother who got separated from the family.
I did not watch Godzilla.
And I only just saw this the other night. It's the only reason I know it because I recognized her from Age of Ultron.
She is. So she plays such a good part in this movie.
Yeah. And actually, it's a very redeeming part for both her and Quicksilver, which is kind of the story of Marvel. You know, we're not really caring about what yesterday was about, just what's happening today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I actually I was happy about that because I know we talked about Big Hero 6 and I was really disappointed that, and there's a spoiler for this one too, but that, you know, Professor Callahan wasn't really redeemed. And, you know, Kyle said a lot of times in these comic book universes, they're not redeemed. So to see, you know, kind of the switch from villain to Avenger teammate was super cool. That was very fulfilling for me.
Well, you know, I mean, she just saw that it was misguided a little bit.
Yeah. They don't always understand that. Sometimes you hold this vendetta for so long. I mean, it had been their entire lifetime that they were blaming all their loss on Tony Stark. So they could have held on to that, and it would have been understandable, but it was better that they didn't. It was cool.
If you've been keeping track of all these Marvel movies, it seems to be we're tracking the Infinity Stones. All these different storylines all kind of center on the Infinity Stones, where we actually know where four of them now are. And we actually hear that in the movie itself.
Well, and I think that's important, too. When I first
you got the one in Vision's head. You know there's one in the Tesseract, and you know the one that Star-Lord has.
Right, and there's the fourth one is the Thor 2 movie, the red one that was inside his girlfriend, and then it kind of sucked out the red one. And that was the tie-in to Guardians of the Galaxy, because at the end of Thor 2, you had his two friends, Lady Sith and the big guy with the red beard, bringing that red Infinity Stone to the Collector in the Guardians of the Galaxy universe.
Right.
Which was the tie-in, and it was actually kind of disappointing in the Guardians of the Galaxy how easy that guy's place blew apart. Sorry about the spoiler for Guardians. But to me, I thought that was the safest place they could bring it to. That's why they gave it to him, as opposed to where's the other place they stored it on that planet, the something core?
I don't know.
And again, we're really getting into small things. We didn't want to go there.
Well, my main thing about the Infinity Stone, and so we know at this point that Thanos wants to collect all the Infinity Stones. And we know that he is, at this point, the major villain behind everything that's going on within the Marvel Universe. So what's going to happen to Vision? Because he has an Infinity Stone in his head.
Right, well, based on the way the movie ended, he's going to be an Avenger in the next Avengers movie.
Right, so, but I mean, ultimately, I guess is my point, that we know that Thanos needs all the Infinity Stones, and one's in his head, so...
Oh, gotcha. That's going to be a hell of a battle.
Right, exactly. That's my point, that there's big things to happen.
Before we started, we talked about how, you know, it's a spoiler that at the end, everyone's sort of... It seems like the Avengers, as we know them, are sort of dismantling, and people are leaving, and there's only... you know, a couple left behind in a new class of Avengers, so to speak. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're going to be around because I'm pretty sure that in Civil War, Iron Man is the big deal. So,
Iron Man's in it. Vision's in it.
But I didn't think of Iron Man as stepping down as much as, say, the Hulk.
No, the Hulk is...
disappeared now.
Yeah.
And you've got Hawkeye, who's going to hang out with the family now. He's a family man.
Well, right. He's cast in Captain America Civil War, which is the next film.
But again, not the Avengers movie.
It doesn't say necessarily how much of a part he'll have either. I mean, so we don't know.
Right. And Tony Stark drove away. I don't necessarily think that he was counted out of the situation.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think the only one that was necessarily counted out would be the Hulk. Because... I mean, even at the end of the first Avengers, they kind of go their separate ways, and that's what Nick Fury says. They'll come back, and how do you know? Because we'll need them to.
Well, and I think there's a lot of time. Kyle and I talked a lot about this, because when I first saw it and then Jimmy saw it, we were talking about how great it was. And the day that Jimmy saw it, I read all these reviews where, like, all these people hated it, just thought it was terrible. And I was, like, completely surprised because everyone that I talked to loved it. But I think part of the thing is there are some holes that you have to fill in. You have to realize that a certain amount of years have passed. They've already defeated multiple Hydra locations. I mean, there's multiple lines that go on and say this is like the last thing they're doing together. And Captain America has, you know, really taken his place as like the leader, the first Avenger. So I think we have to understand that there's a lot of time that passes between even Iron Man 3 and Age of Ultron. So
yeah, absolutely.
There's all these holes that, you know, aren't filled in the movies, and maybe they are in the comic book world, and maybe that's why some people were upset because they're filled in differently. But for the people that said it was, you know, just not a great story, I think you have to take a look back at that, though, and realize that this is part of a bigger story.
Oh, sure, definitely. And you know what? We really don't want to go too much more because I want to include the TV show, The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in his discussion. So I think what we'll do is we'll probably touch base with this in a couple of weeks once the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is done and we've seen those episodes, because then I think we can kind of tie this off and then we can get ready for Tomorrowland.
Yay!
Because that's the next one. There's a lot of great Disney movies coming out this year.
Absolutely.
After Tomorrowland is the Pixar one comes out.
Inside Out. Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yes. I'm so excited about both of those movies.
Excellent. And guys, we want to talk about these with you, our listeners also. So again, I've said this a number of times today, so excuse me for doing that, but we really want to hear from you. So give us an email. Let us know what you think. And actually, speaking of that, that's probably about it for tonight. We've gone a little long tonight with a lot of the news from the parks and a little bit of Avengers Age of Ultron talk. So I think that's it for tonight.
All right, guys, look, please follow us on Facebook, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Join the group, Disney Nerds, on the Facebook page. Check out our meet if you're planning on being in Walt Disney World or the Orlando area during the beginning of October. Please check out the event section of our Facebook page. If you want to send us an email, want to join in these discussions, shoot us an email at questions@thedisneynerds.com.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.